This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes on this Friday, the 18th of March. Right. It is 12.05, coming up to 12.06. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with...
Frida Liu, and it's customary to say Friday.
Yes, it is. Friday. How many times? I think when I was doing the show with Matt earlier on, I think I mentioned Friday a few times in that as well. I love Fridays, you know, Frida. Mm. My favourite day of the week. Now, have we got a story for you today? This is something that we've kind of been hearing a little bit about, you know, on the grapevine in the past. And it's something that, you know, the Star newspaper picked up as well. We found this piece in the Star, and I guess it should have shocked us, but really it didn't. There are some unscrupulous workers, and they are apparently faking their COVID-19 test results to stay away from work, leading several groups to call for further improvement of the My Sejahtera app to check the abuse.
Right.
The Star also did find videos that are being circulated on social media platforms on how the COVID-19 saliva test kit can be manipulated to give false positive results.
Yeah. Okay. And of course, we're sharing the story on Friday in case you're thinking of doing this on Monday.
Yes.
Okay. Now, there was one user who posted a picture of a saliva test kit in an anti-vax Telegram group saying, "This is the time we make use of the virus." The comment garnered support from the rest, with some even admitting to doing it. One woman quoted in the article claimed, "Many people have done it. There are positive cases at my husband's office every day because the workers updated my Sejahtera showed that they were positive, which required a 10-day quarantine, and their boss even had to shut down the operation because they had no workers since many of them were quarantined."
Wow. And meanwhile, the Star was made to understand that authorities in the Health Ministry and Labour Department have not received complaints on employees faking COVID-19 results. I'm guessing that's yet. However, employers believe that the possibility for abuse is there with the current COVID-19 reporting system, as no medical certificates from a physician are required.
Right.
So the Malaysian Employers Federation, the MEF, President Dr. Syed Hussein Syed Hussman, said that the possibility of the COVID-19 self-report procedure to be abused is real. Thus, it's very important for employers to remind their workers of the consequences if they do get caught cheating. He called on employers to manage the abuser under its own disciplinary action. Here's a quote. "Stern action should be imposed on the abuser because such abuse will jeopardize company operations and mislead the authorities who are working to manage the pandemic."
SME Association Malaysia President Ding Hong Sing said there have been cases of employees faking their COVID-19 results, but it is not widespread. Many companies will ask the positive COVID-19 patients to take another test either through the company or a clinic to verify the results. So he said that employers will only be allowed to take medical leave once the test results are verified. So Ding added that strict procedures will be needed to combat this problem, given the possibility that test results another person could be used in place of employees' own results. Very easy.
Right. Meanwhile, the Federation of Malaysian Manufacturers, the FMM President Tan Sri So Tian Lai, said no such cases have been reported amongst their members. He, however, admitted there are concerns that false claims may increase eventually due to the absence of a system to curb dishonest practices by employees. Therefore, he said, before such practices become, quote, uncontrollable, preventative measures must be taken to stop any impact on operations, especially in labour-intensive industries. As the system, My Sejahtera, does not cater for validation of the information except for an image of the COVID-19 test to be uploaded based on the RTKAG self-test kit, which is currently advocated to be sufficient, there could be a tendency for anyone to act dishonestly and claim for hospitalisation leave, he said.
Right. He added the My Sejahtera app, which currently accepts photos or test results, must be further modified to include a feature where a medical practitioner could remotely validate the health status on condition the employee claiming to be unable to report for work and requiring home quarantine. He also said that, quote, "At the same time, members will be advised to be more cautious of this potential employee relations issue of false reporting and deal with delinquent employees according to the company's disciplinary process. If employers suspect their workers are using such tactics, they should investigate and take the necessary disciplinary action."
Mm-hmm. So, are you surprised by this at all?
Not surprised at all. Okay, so, and this is something that this is where organizations where, like, for example, we have a rotation system in the office, right? Yeah. I mean, we just work on the basis that people are trustworthy. I mean, that's the basis to work on. Mm. And if that someone reports ill, that there is a measure in place that it can be replaced. I mean, it's been 2 years. No, they should have some sort of measures in place. So when I hear this, I find that when you are not an employee with integrity, you'll still be caught out sooner or later for something else. Of course, it affects productivity a lot. Mm. I'm personally more concerned when person's positive and doesn't report.
No, I agree. Yeah.
Right? That is a bigger concern.
I've heard a lot about that as well. Depending on what industry.
My hairdresser.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
My hairdresser's, you know, staff.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Which affects my life.
Of course. Yeah. It affects everybody's life, right? This thing, as we know, spreads like wildfire once it's somewhere. I interviewed a company not too long ago called Clear. Right, and these were a bunch of doctors who essentially would sit there and watch you take a test to make sure that the test results were accurate, or you could upload a video, and it had to be done a certain way. You had to be, you know, so you couldn't doctor the video.
Right.
And at first, I'm thinking, well, I don't really see the benefit of this, and why companies might use this. But then I thought about manufacturing and industry and that kind of stuff. Where you have 300-400 people who have to test on a daily, weekly basis or whatever, and then it kind of made sense. Something like this idea incorporated to my Sajatara over time would be very useful, you know, in my head. I'm not surprised that people are doing this at all. And when it comes to the kind of outfall of this, or what should happen to somebody who is faking their results, I feel very strongly that this should be, you know, on an almost instant dismissal.
Yes.
You know, because this is dangerous. This is not just like I'm pretending to have a headache or I have an upset tummy or something. This could potentially affect people's lives very seriously. And the consequences of your actions should, you know,
be dismissal.
Be dismissal, yeah.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
Guys, what do you think? Let us know. Get us via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Twitter, of course, you can get us at BFM Radio. We do have somebody to talk to after the break, though. We'll be hearing from Deepa George. She's the managing consultant at My HRC Services, HR Consulting and Training, about how employers can monitor, mitigate, and manage creative employees who resort to fake tests during this time. Stay tuned. We've got some music coming up from Penelope Isles with Chlorine here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Burning for more. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm back in the studio with
Frida Liu.
12:17 here in the studio. Not such a bad day outside. Not too sunny. Not too grey. Perfect day for a nap, I would say. It's ideal for a nap for those of you who are at home enjoying lounging on the sofa. Not that we're jealous or anything.
And listening to us.
And listening to us, of course. If you'd like to get in touch with us and keep us company while we're sat here in the studio, get us via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. On Twitter, we are at BFM Radio. No tweets as of yet, but we are talking about that. According to The Star, there are some unscrupulous workers and they're faking their COVID-19 test results to stay away from work. Let us know what you think about that. Me and Frida have been discussing it a little bit, and we said we're not entirely surprised by the whole thing.
This is Malaysia.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think there. It's not just Malaysia. I think there'd certainly be people elsewhere doing this for sure. But we do have somebody to speak to. We've got Deepa George. She's the managing consultant of My HRC Services. It's an HR consulting and training service. We're going to be asking her about how employers can monitor, mitigate, and manage "quote unquote" creative employees. Deepa, now. Do you think this is an extension of the perennial challenge Malaysian employers face? Employees faking MCs. Let us know. What do you think?
Yes, sadly, it might be a sign of things to come until sort of everything sort of stabilizes. But the reality is today, they now have a clear out, right? So employees have this excuse, as we're talking about it, in terms of faking it and the positive results. Because even in the past, people used to go to unscrupulous doctors or centers and buy an MC. And now you can just have the test results to show that. the smart employees we notice are doing both, right? So what they are starting to do is show the supposedly fake positive results, and then they go and visit an unscrupulous doctor and potentially purchase an MC for about, what, RM25 or so. So you imagine, even pre-COVID, there was a time when you have this 14 days MC and you can add that to your annual leave. A lot of people thought it was their entitlement, and it is, if they are genuinely sick. But we know human nature, there's some people who want to fake it. So what do? You hear people saying, oh, Rugi, you know, they still have 4 or 5 days MCs not taken. Well, today with COVID, you don't need to prove that. And the organization naturally gets a bit fearful when they think someone has COVID, both for themselves and hopefully for the employee, and also how it, you know, really affects the rest of the business continuity. So as long as this is a possibility where they can fake results, still continue to buy MCs, I'm afraid it's not going to be easy to make this problem go away.
Very naughty, Deepa. So Deepa, what are the implications of employees faking positive results like this?
There's definitely implications. And I guess the implications are threefold, right? So we talk about the employee perspective. Yes, there's implications to the business, the organization. And then, of course, a knock-on effect is felt by all of us as consumers, and the commercial impact, right? So let's just take a simple example. We all heard about when countries were opening up for travel, even in the West or, you know, wherever it was. And there weren't enough ground staff to deal with the check-in passengers or boarding. And that's because some people were COVID positive, some people were isolated. So depending on the rules. So I'm glad in a way that in Malaysia, they've changed that ruling around close contact, where you self-regulate, you test, and then, you know, so go back to the workplace. I know it presents its own challenges, but I think the government is really trying to balance that ability of, you know, the person who has COVID versus those who are close contacts. So the faking of the close contacts hopefully will change, because now the rules and the SOP, you know, have stopped. That was one of the things that people were contending with in the last few months. A lot of companies, you know, it's harder to prove. You don't have to say you have COVID, you just say you're close contact, and then you don't really have to come into the office. But from a business perspective, obviously, there is impact on productivity. And even if you say you want to sort of, you know, allow people, they're working from home, it doesn't matter. So what are our measures? Our measures output, our measures deliverables, or is it very much process driven and they have to be in the office? Because there is a future impact as well to employees doing this. And I really appeal to employees to think about that. If we reduce interactions and reduce ideation by not being, you know, with our colleagues or not working during that time, then can it affect the future business longevity? And we saw that happen, you know, after about 6 months to a year is when we started seeing retrenchments happen, right, in the corporate space. And that's really because the sustainability of that existing flow of limited people working, already there's bad enough limited consumer purchasing. And if you compound that with limited employees adding to that productivity and their contribution, that can be a deadly factor. So I really feel that if employees can think about that, think about their personal integrity, don't just think about, well, I'll never get found out, so let me try and do this. I really feel, you know, everyone has a part to play in this. They are responsible also for the growth and the success of the business. And hopefully it doesn't affect their livelihood in the longer term.
Okay. What about the fake negative results then, Deepa?
So this is an interesting one, because fake positives, we kind of understand why people not want to go into work, or we think we do. But when it comes to faking negative results, there's a much larger systemic issue, isn't it? Because the question would be, what would drive an employee to still come into work at all costs, even when they are positive and down with COVID? So that's a big issue, right? And the first question we got to ask ourselves is it out of a culture of fear? So is it, no matter what, I can't be seen as not being at work or not doing my work, or even when I'm unwell, you know, I've got no excuse, and, you know, my boss or the company culture expects me to be, you know, plodding away, right? So the two ways to look at it is, one by penalty, and second by the reward systems in place. So are there penalties, either in terms of perception, in terms of limited career options? So it's these unwritten penalties where people frown upon the employee for not being in. And they find it hard to sit around and explain that, oh, it's because I've got COVID or I've, you know, tested positive. It's much easier to just come in, grin and bear it. And that's really scary sort of situation to be in, COVID or not, right? The second is, what type of reward mechanisms do you have in place? Is this the organization that rewards no matter what, even during COVID? It's a zero absenteeism incentive plan. How does it relate to, you know, bonuses and so on? Is it timesheet driven? So if those things are the primary driving force, then the reward and penalty system within the company needs to be relooked. Otherwise, employees will feel, I have to be in for my best interest, right? Because I'll either be penalized or I will lose out on potential rewards.
Right. So it's the carrot or the stick, right, Deepa? The MEF has suggested employees manage the abuser under its own disciplinary action. So what is an appropriate course of action?
Yes, I guess the best thing to do is to allow organizations to treat it as a disciplinary issue, because we are talking about integrity, right? But before we get to that, we need to make sure we have some parameters and some rules or guidelines set in place. So what is the organization policy around this? I know some companies where even though the close contact has been, you know, the need to isolate for close contacts has been abolished, but they choose to say that, well, they still want the employee to isolate for at least 3 days and so on. So the organization must first define the parameters. Do they follow government SOPs? Are they more stringent? Are they more lenient? And so on. And, you know, what does that say about the company? Completely different strokes, different folks, right? The next thing would be in terms of making sure you're clear about the action and the penalties for, you know, errant employees, right? So once you've defined your policies, then the question will be, how do you treat these kind of few situations? Now, we have to look at ourselves. Is it one suspected errant employee, two, you know, is it 1%, is it 5%, and so on? Because if it is a larger group, then it's more of an organizational culture issue, I would say. But if it's just a few errant individuals, then we need to treat it in isolation. However, there's a term called selective prosecution, right? So we must make sure the rules and the policies apply to everyone. And then you can't be selective in how you choose to enforce it. You must make sure that your star performer, your top talent is treated the same as somebody who might not be as strong. Because when it comes to this, it's about the health issues and it has to be treated equally. So one thing that you can do also is, for example, is to insist on a PCR for a follow-up. So if it is a positive and you have reason to believe that, you know, this seems really strange, then make sure that you institutionalize that. And for everyone who has a positive result, you need to insist on that. You can institute RTK testing once weekly, once every 2 weeks. Different companies do different things. Again, anything that you enforce on a company-wide basis, of course, incurs cost. Now, in terms of the process, you would need to do first verbal counseling. Where necessary, you might need to provide a show cause letter and give them a chance to explain. Because remember, you can't prove this. They need to be able to allow their side of the story. And then you take whatever necessary in terms of a warning letter and so on. But yes, internal procedures matter. But let's make sure it's defined before you take action.
You kind of alluded to this a little bit earlier on, but it does feel like something else needs to be addressed here. A trust deficit in the organization, or a deeper issue with work culture. Because what does it say about an organization if employees are faking positive results to skip work or negative results to continue working despite the possible repercussions?
Exactly, to the point, I think, earlier, right, based on your question. So what type of a company culture would then drive employees to do this, right? One thing is false positives. The other thing is false negatives. So to me, if you think about from the extreme perspective, I would say fear, the culture of fear and distrust really drives those false negatives, right? It's that fear of the what if, what do I look like? What will happen to me? What will I not receive? Or what will I be penalized with? And therefore, I need to be at work. And that drives false negatives. But then you have the other element of false positives, which might be even signs that are leading towards burnout. Now, of course, there are a few who might have integrity issues. But is it also an indicator in the company to take a hard look at themselves that it's a final call out for employees to say, look, I'm at my, you know, wit's end, and therefore I need to fake a positive. And if we take the assumption of innocent till proven guilty, the leaders, the HR, and the organization itself really needs to take a hard look at themselves, right? Have there been enough lines of communication open between the leader of the staff? You know, is it the other thing we need to think about? And I would encourage HR to look at this. Do we find that these little things happen to be organization-wide, or is it leader-specific? Because maybe the false positives are coming from one particular section or department. Maybe the false negatives are coming from another. It could also be telling of the type of leadership style that the different leaders apply. And therefore, the element of fear towards the one leader, and therefore the false negatives. And the, you know, the lack of integrity, the employee doing a false positive could be really around the fact that I'm, you know, burning out, and I need time off, and I don't know how to get it. Let's fake a positive result. And I think that's the two things that the employees and the leaders need to also look at.
Very interesting stuff. Deepa, would you mind staying on the line for us? We've got to take a short break here on BFM. Let us know what you think, folks. Of course, we are hearing from Deepa George, Managing Consultant at My HRC Services, HR Consulting and Training. We are talking about the fact that some unscrupulous employees are faking their COVID-19 test results, whether they're faking being positive or negative. Let us know what you think. We're going to take a short break with some music here from Tina Turner. We'll be right back after these messages here on Enterprise BizBytes, BFM 89.9.
Stay tuned to Enterprise BizBytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Before Friday materializes, BFM 89.9.
Enterprise BizBytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Right, you're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes, and I have to take the lead on this. Richard here, Richard Bradbury. We're talking about people faking medical leave.
Yes.
Right, because they, you know, you can just upload something on MySajatra and just say, yes, I'm positive, but actually, you know, you're on holiday somewhere.
My word.
Right. So we've been speaking to Deepa George, Managing Consultant of My HRC Services, HR Consulting and Training, about how employers can monitor, mitigate, and manage creative employees about this. So, you know, I just want to continue with our conversation, Deepa. You know, how can employers better monitor for abuse like this and manage instances like this, right? The MEF has suggested positive PCR results, reports to HR to control the situation. Must all workplaces require a PCR result moving forward?
Again, depending on the type of culture and the trust element within the organization, I would definitely suggest that, you know, for the first incident, you know, because now they're saying that you may even be able to get COVID twice. We've seen that happen in some countries, right? So if we know that, definitely for the first incident, there's probably no need for us to insist on PCR. But that being said, it's up to the organization, depending also on the type of, you know, work and labor force that you have. But one thing you can do is insist that employees report their COVID positive status in, you know, MySajatra, and therefore it then turns red, right? Now, what you're doing there is, by default, the isolation is not just at home, but they also can't go to other locations because most places will require you have a clear status, right? Or at least just casual contact. So that's one thing you can start doing. And then PCR results, you can insist, but of course, that must also mean that the cost needs to be borne by the employer. Because if the employees are showing their RTK results and it's showing a positive, then the distrust is really coming from the employer's perspective for whatever reason. If you remember, I talked about no selective prosecution. So you can't say, well, I don't trust person A, and so he or she needs to go for PCR to validate. But when it comes to person B, I know that he or she won't fake the results, and that's not necessary. So we can't do that. You need to apply that to everyone. The question will be, do you do it right at the onset, or maybe for, you know, later on when it is somebody who says it's a second time, or if it is a larger organization, you can institutionalize that for certain levels and below, because you can use the fact that infectivity rate will be higher in close confined spaces now that all employees can go back to work, right? So not everyone has the luxury to truly enforce the distancing and they're wearing masks, but the closer the proximity, the higher the infectivity. So you can insist on a PCR test for a certain level of population, but not necessarily all. That's really up to the organization to take the call.
Deepa, with the KKM kind of phasing out PCRs and prioritising RTKs, like the Health Minister KJ suggested this week. Will workplaces need to depend then on employee honesty?
Mm.
Well, I wish we could really depend on honesty on all parties in everything we do, right? I mean, the world would be a better place if that was the case. But the reality is there are a couple of issues here. We are dependent on, yes, the integrity of the employee. Also dependent on the trust and, you know, trustworthiness, the trusting level and the trusted level of employees. So let me say that again, right? How trusting a leader is of their team and how trusted the leader is mm-hmm. by their team,
right?
And finally, the policies and the culture that the company has. So I think all these three come into play, right? Integrity of employee, trust, leader level, and the policies and culture. So in general, we want to encourage honest and open communication, but we can't always have that, right? And we know that you can't do one without the other two. So it all goes hand in hand. So it's easy to blame the employee and say, well, it's because they're not honest and, you know, I question them. Then you really need to look at yourself and see what sort of culture do you instill in the company? What sort of leader am I? You know, do I immediately go to, there are some leaders who give everybody 100% until you've proven otherwise and then you minus from there. But there are other people who start with zero and you need to prove yourself before you gain their trust. So you go back to the issue of work from home productivity. Wasn't very different, right? What type of culture was it then? What was the culture pre-COVID? And it's really a wake-up call to the company if the employees are trying to game the system today. They would have tried to game it during work from home, during the MCO periods where everyone was forced to do it, and they're going to continue to do it. So this is not going to be COVID-specific if the culture doesn't change in the company. So again, I call on the company to relook at their policies and the culture, look at the leaders to look at themselves. Are they both trusting and trusted? And last but not least, of course, we hope and depend on the integrity of the employees.
Trusted and trusting and integrity, right? And it's, all right, Deepa, is there a way to make sure your employees aren't driven to such an extreme length in the first place?
I think we need to look at it from a communication perspective. How well does the organization, and in this case, the leaders, know their team? Do you do constant check-ins? Do you have a pulse of what your team members, your employees are going through? Do you understand their frustrations? Do you understand their challenges, right? So it can be from both extremes, as we talked about, faking positives or faking negatives, right? So is it a case of extreme fear? They are so fearful of you and you misread it as extreme respect. Be careful. Respect can come in many forms and they think you think your employees respect you tremendously. It might be just really, really scared to death, right? And fearful. So do you understand what sort of behaviors or indicators are there in a pulse?
Mm-hmm.
Or the other extreme where the employees are really just too tired and they're just on the verge of burnout and therefore they need to do fake positives to get some, you know, unrecorded time off, for lack of a better term, right? So what sort of behavior do you want to do? Are you able to do, for example, skip level sessions? So for the more senior leaders, can they go down one level, speak to the team members under them? And I know some leaders are thinking, are you mad? We don't have time to even have meetings with our own people. True, but if you don't get to understand what it's like to be at the ground level, then you might be misreading the signs by just accepting the feedback from your direct team members, right? Your direct supervisors, direct below the line supervisors without knowing what's the impact on the ground. So really leaders need to take the time to do that. And it can be as simple as maybe half an hour once a month, but just that constant interactions. The other thing is think about the type of interactions your employees have had with you. If most of the interactions have been purely task focused, and I know this is probably more leadership oriented than COVID specific, but the reality is if every interaction with you as a leader has been for corrections, have been for what they need to do better, and therefore what I call the negative strokes far outweigh the positive strokes, then employees are not going to be open with you. You're not going to get a true sense.
Mm-hmm.
So it's time for us to course correct our leadership style, as well as look at what are the type of practices in the company that will allow this type of open communication. Ultimately, it goes back to communication, goes back to the culture that the company sets.
All right. With all that then said, how might faking a COVID test, how could that affect somebody's career moving forward?
the biggest impact will be, of course, on integrity. So assuming the employee gets called out, the reality is the trust quotient is broken, right? So especially we talk about fake positives, right? Now, fake negative, we'll come back to fake positives, but if you talk about the fake negatives and they come into work no matter what, then that really warrants a conversation to tell them not to be fearful that they have this, you know, sort of big cloud hanging over their head, that no matter what happens and come hell or high water, they have to be at work. We need to correct that. So that might be a different kind of a treatment. We need to have that conversation. But that being said, it's still an integrity issue because it can affect the health of others. But if we come back to fake positives, and then we're talking about their lack of integrity because they just want some time off, we first need to look at ourselves. Is it us causing the burnout, right? Back to that leadership thing. But integrity is integrity. We don't want to have selective prosecution. But the truth is, once we question the integrity of the employee, fair to say that we're not going to consider them for that, you know, fantastic promotion coming up in year ahead. So yes, there will be that trust broken. There will be a potential negative impact. It's hard enough for us to, you know, talk about breaking the bias. International Women's Day was talking about that, right, in terms of perceptions and so on. So let's not layer that or complicate matters by adding integrity to that man or woman, right? So yes, it could impact the future career because we were wondering whether we can trust the individual. If we have questions on their integrity for themselves, how will they lead a team, right? We're talking about career growth. Chances are they're moving towards leadership. So this is another call out to employees to not do this because it can affect your personal growth. And in future, you know, some people may even start doing reference checks on this. And you never know, it might sound trivial, but you know, nothing surprises me very much anymore. Right. And a future interview question can be, you know, about has there been integrity issues? An example with COVID testing, and how did the employee, I heard that recently, how did the employee conduct themselves during work from home? Any questions around their productivity or indicator or business continuity? So, you know, we might need to watch that space. Those things can affect the person's career internally and even potentially externally when they look for new roles.
Okay, right. Thanks for that.
Yeah, look at your future, right? Mm-hmm. Deepa, last question. Realistically, is this something we can curb? Is using, you know, tap water and the kid to get a positive result? So, you know, what's the best we can do here?
I guess the reality is this may be here to stay for a while. So all that employers can do is really to speak openly about it. Don't be selective in applications, please, because that will really be frowned upon by employees and employees in across levels, right? So it'll be a case of, oh, how come the blue-eyed girl or the supposed favorite of the boss, there's no question of integrity for that person, but all of us have to do certain things and so on. So I think don't be selective in application. The other one is really try and figure out how we can measure more based on impact and deliverables and output instead of just pure process-driven elements, right? Now that I know that only applies for certain level work because blue collar work is very much process driven. You have production chains and so on and so forth. So for business continuity reasons, that's different. So that really depends on the culture, right? Is it a unionized environment? Can you have open conversations? Do they understand that they don't need to do these kind of fake positive results or fake negative even? And can you speak openly? But on the flip side, if you talk about a corporate workspace, a white collar type employees, really, can we change our focus instead of more input into more output? Show me the money, show me the quality, show me the impact, and give them an opportunity to find this methodology themselves, which means whether they are at work or not, they're held accountable to that. And by default, I really believe that most employees will self-regulate because they know at the end of the day, they still need to deliver.
Thanks very much for that. That, of course, was Deepa George, a managing consultant at My HRC Services. They are an HR consulting and training service. Interesting stuff there. I think people really need to think long and hard about how this could, in fact, potentially affect their future career.
Right. And it's not that. I mean, you're working for a company, right? You're working for a company that pays your salary.
Yeah.
And, you know, you turning up, it's going to affect the productivity of the company. You don't help the company, you're not going to get paid.
That's right?
So don't be so...
Yeah, be smart.
Yes.
Now, it's come to the end of the show. It's all the time me and Frida have for today. If you did miss any part of the show, don't forget you can download the podcast. It's up a little bit, well, it will be up very shortly. And of course, you can always listen back to it via the BFM app. It's available in the Apple App Store or Google Play. Don't go anywhere, though, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, of course, it is the Breakfast Grill replay. And we'll be back same time, same place next week for Enterprise Biz Bytes. Folks at home, have yourselves a lovely weekend. And we'll be back. I know we're going to have a lovely weekend. I'm going to be putting my feet up and resting and maybe doing a bit of Netflix. I don't know about you, Frida. What are you doing?
Resting.
Resting, yes. Okay, then, folks, this is it for Enterprise Biz Bytes. We'll be back next week on behalf of myself and Frida. This has been Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Enterprise Biz Bytes was presented by Allianz Malaysia, empowering businesses to build confidence in tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.